WWE Champion John Cena joining us. It's going to be Monday Night Raw at HP Pavilion in San Jose. 10 days from now, SummerSlam. Two champions, CM Punk and John Cena. John Cena joins us now. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you for having me on the show.
There are these moments when in the wrestling world something happens and all sorts of hype just transcends the wrestling sphere, and a lot of people are saying, hey, what's going on in wrestling right now? And that's what's going on with you and CM Punk. Have you been at all surprised at just how much hype this whole thing, you versus CM Punk, has created?
No, I think it's fantastic. A lot of extra eyes come on our program anytime we do something that's what I call shock television. And CM Punk speaking his mind a few weeks ago, and the result that our pay-per-view Money in the Bank was extremely shocking television. You have to back up that shock television with a great product. And I think WWE, bar none, has the best live and televised entertainment on the face of the planet. So once we get those eyes to watch our program, then they'll start talking a lot more. And that's why this, I guess, Cena versus Punk round two champion versus champion match is so interesting.
Now, I want to go back a couple of weeks. Money in the Bank pay-per-view. It's in Chicago. That's CM Punk's hometown. Have you ever been booed like that before, especially as the face, the good guy, whatever you want to call it, to go into such a hostile arena to have the main event?
Yeah, it is much, much worse. I thought I was expecting Chicago to be unlawful. I think my response, going back to that very same building, I think my response was much worse when I had a WrestleMania match against Triple H in WrestleMania 22 in Allstate Arena.
Yeah.
They loved CM Punk that night. They truly loved him. But if you watch that match back halfway through the match, the divide really is noticeable. The percentage of people that are rooting for CM Punk, the percentage of people rooting for me, I really thought there wasn't going to be a John Cena fan in the house. But it was literally like 70-30, so there was truly a presence for both sides. And I think that's what made the match so great. That's what made the pay-per-view so great. People want to see this. People want to see, and I know it was CM Punk's hometown, but the guy speaks his mind, and he can back it up in the ring. So I know SummerSlam, it's not going to be in Chicago, but he'll certainly have his supporters over there.
Yeah, you know, John, the reason I asked was, I felt that entrance for you, it wasn't the typical entrance. I felt like, you know, sometimes when you come out, you know, you're really making that contact with the crowd, and my vision is you being in that ring, kind of putting the belt up over your head, kind of your head tilted down a little bit, and I just felt like, you know, I don't think the crowd took you out of your game because you had to know that it was going to be pretty adversarial, but there just seemed to be that thing like, wow, maybe this is a little bit more booing than anybody was expecting.
Oh, no, not at all. I always kind of gauge my interaction with the fans on what type of fans we have, and if it's, you know, fans of CM Punk, they certainly aren't going to be fans of John Cena. When I walk out in front of an audience and it's a John Cena audience, I'll interact with them all night. You know, I'll pretty much try to look for every sign I can. I'll point to people in the upper deck that I spot who never even thought that they get on television. I want to let them know that I'm happy that they came out. But in a situation where the fans are there to see CM Punk, I mean, I guess it's his choice whether or not he wants to interact with the fans. And he actually, if you watch that match back, did a great job of letting Chicago know he was proud that everybody came out.
As far as this going into SummerSlam, you're 10 days away. Answer for the criticism that I think is out there that this match is too rushed, that maybe there should be a lot more of a buildup before you guys face off again. Do you feel this is coming too quick?
I have no idea what critics you're talking to say that this is too quick. I think Money in the Bank was open to close our best pay-per-view calendar year 2011, and I'm saying that includes WrestleMania. It's right up there with WrestleMania. So on the heels of what I think is our best presentation of our product to our fans, why not follow it up with the best possible scenario? And right now there is no one more in the public eye, like you said, because of his actions with CM Punk. We have a new COO in Triple H, and I think this is truly the match to have. As a guy being in the ring, I wouldn't want to face anybody else in CM Punk. He's unbelievable in the ring. He is what he says he is. He's the best in the world. And as a champion, you want to know you're facing the best. And SummerSlam has almost got the reputation of WrestleMania and the WWE, as well as the locker room. And you want to put on the best you can for SummerSlam.
How much does the dynamic change on television now that Vince McMahon is off television and now Triple H does have that role on air? Does it change how you interact with him backstage? How's that kind of the flow going where before it's John Cena talking to Vince McMahon in the ring, now all of a sudden you're talking to Triple H?
I think you saw a little bit of that on Monday. I mean, I've wrestled Triple H before. He's been a tag team partner of mine, and I have a certain rapport with him, but he made it clear on Monday that that is done. As far as programming is concerned, it's going to be interesting to see how Triple H, and I don't know how he even wants to be referred to. I mean, you called Vince Mr. McMahon. I don't know what to call Triple H, but I guess he was a true disciple of that Attitude Era, you know. And I'm very happy to say that all of our programming is TV PG. So when you come out to HP Pavilion on Monday, they can enjoy family entertainment. But will Triple H adapt to that? And, you know, with CM Punk speaking his mind and really kind of going outside the lines in some of his comments, it's amazing to see that Triple H really kind of didn't do anything, you know, to punish him or I guess, to do anything in response to his comments. He kind of just sit there and let it happen.
John Cena joining us on Sports Byline, HP Pavilion for Monday Night Raw. We're 10 days away from SummerSlam. You use the phrase, John, outside the lines. Is there a part of you every once in a while I'll see you do it, but is there a part of you that every Monday night you would like to kind of maybe be in the ring, talking to the audience, and maybe go outside the lines yourself?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And like I said, I love the brand that I work for. And if you look at the path of my career, in the very beginning of my career, I was way outside the line. But we're in a different place right now. And as much as I would love to do it, I'm a 34-year-old male. And I would be a little bit more entertained if the content of the show was more racy. But we have a lot of kids and a lot of parents that watch the show. And we have a lot of kids and a lot of parents that are entertained by the show. So if I just go outside the lines on a regular basis, it becomes unwatchable for those people. And I've kind of come to grips with myself. It's an even trade. It's a trade that I'll make every single night. I would much rather have those parents and that kid be able to sit front row and enjoy the WWE than not have them there at all.
Do you feel that there is that group, whether you want to call it the internet wrestling community or, you know, whatever their tag would be, are they more vocal than they are in number? If you go online and you read blogs or you're message boards, whatever, you would think that there would be a lot more, we want John Cena to be more like this rather than the way that he is, yet here you are, you sell merchandise, you're selling out buildings. It's not like John Cena is not being accepted by anybody, yet, you know, depending on where you go, you could make that assumption depending on what you read.
And that doesn't just pertain to me. If you look at the backlog of headliners for the WWE, there's been criticism along the way. That's why critics are called critics. They find flaw in whatever's presented in front of them. It is a very loud voice, but like you said, the numbers just don't add up, and they are mostly older fans who would be entertained by a racier product, and they can't take a step back and understand that we're entertaining a different audience. And that's not to say that the WWE won't circle back and go back to the Attitude Era, but I think as critics, their biggest flaw is not being able to understand where the product is. Go to a WWE event. Come by and see us Monday at the HP Pavilion. You'll realize that it truly is a family event. So for them to criticize the product that we put forward is really the biggest knock is at our audience. You know, I mean, these are people paying to be entertained, and we want to keep them coming to the show. We've done much better business. We've been able to expand at a much more rapid global pace. We've invited corporations to come along and enjoy WWE. And like I said, instead of, you know, one college kid coming in to see us, we can get a father, a mother, and a family of five and be able to enjoy the product. And I don't think still sacrifice anything because you have very entertaining characters like CM Punk. And every once in a while you can toe the line, like especially when Dwayne Johnson came back.
Mm-hmm.
But those are special moments, and that's what makes those so exciting.
John, I just want to say, this is my own personal take, and I'd just like you to respond to it. I don't miss the Attitude Era. I got to tell you, you know, I found that when it really got to its highest point, forget about racy, non-racy, what you guys were being asked to do, I mean, how many times can you throw a guy off the top of the cage? How many times does a match have to end with somebody bleeding like a stuck pig? I mean, that to me is what I think of when I think of the Attitude Era, maybe that more than which storyline was racy or which girl had the fewest amount of clothes. I don't miss it.
No, and I'm right there with you. It's one of those things that people look back, like I was a fan during then. So when I reminisce about WWE, I reminisce about moments like that. That generation of fan that is my age, I would say 30 to 40, that was what they grew up with. So that's what they reminisce about when they think of WWE. And they always think of it as the greatest era ever. Well, it was the greatest era ever because that's when they followed. That's when they were involved. There's a giant, giant generation of people the world over who will look back on where we are right now and be like, no, no, man, you don't understand. That was when it was the greatest. You know, when the WWE came forth with the whole PG thing. That's when I really started watching. That's when I got involved. I think the Attitude Era itself got to a point where it was like watching the Jerry Springer Show.
Yeah.
It became shock television, and then we're doing television just to shock viewers. Hey, look what's going to happen next. And if you watch the Jerry Springer Show now, I used to watch that stuff in college. I loved it. But if you watch it now, it is so typical. A person A comes out, has a dispute, whether it be sexual or whatever. Person B comes out, and then person C comes out, and then they fight. Like, that's just kind of the way it goes. But it's all done to try to shock the viewer into watching. And the Attitude, I'm not taking anything away from the Attitude Era, but I'm with you. I'm happy where I'm at. And I think it takes a really true professional to be able to get people and keep people interested in this in the PG parameters. I mean, if you go back and compare people like Stone Cold Steve Austin, who made his living out of giving people the middle finger, you wouldn't even exist today. And if you talk to some of those guys, and some of those guys who have come back on our program to do guest spots, they're like, man, I don't know how you guys survive nowadays with all the rules and the, you know, the stuff you can and can't do under the PG guidelines. So it's really cool. That's kind of them tipping their cap to us. And I know that's a pretty long-winded answer, but I'm with you. I think it's just another facet of the program. You had the Hulkamania era, you know, you had the new generation, then you had the Attitude Era, and now we're in a different spot. And who knows what's going to evolve next? And something will, but like I said, I think those loud fans of the Attitude Era are just kind of reminiscing on good times.
And John, you know, you're definitely the face of this current era, but I do want to ask you, you see these guys, these young guys in the locker room, give me a guy, or if you don't want to identify just one, maybe two or three guys that you think are the future guys. Who's that young guy that maybe is just starting to break that you think there's a guy that could lead the company in the next generation?
I'll actually give you a group of names. First and foremost, and I know he's not a young guy, but he finally has gotten his break, is the guy I'm going to face at SummerSlam, CM Punk. And I really think people should come down to see him at Monday Night Raw because he has been on fire for the past 5 weeks, and he is really molding himself into someone who is going to be the face of the WWE. I mean, if he keeps up this pace, he's a household name. I know Miz really works his tail off, but I think he's got a ways to go. I'll throw Alex Riley into that mix. I know that Cody Rhodes is doing some really good things over on SmackDown. I've also, you know, guys I've been in the ring with, Sheamus, mm-hmm. Wade Barrett, Dolph Ziggler. You know, I could really go on and on. It's a really interesting time right now because, you know, with Triple H taking more of a corporate stand, with The Undertaker, his last match was at WrestleMania. Edge is now gone. I mean, I'm one of the older guys now. So, I mean, it really is time for the younger generation to step up, and I'm pretty sure within the next year or two you will see some brand-new faces in the WWE.
John Cena is an old man at the ripe old age of 34 joining us on Sports Byline. Monday Night Raw at San Jose. It's going to be huge as it's the lead-in into SummerSlam 10 days away. Final question for you, John, and this is beyond SummerSlam. You mentioned Dwayne Johnson before. It's going to be Cena and The Rock. WrestleMania, it was announced weeks ago. Earliest announcement for a main event for WrestleMania. The fact that it's so far away, and now you've got this great thing going with CM Punk, is it diminishing, or is it actually going to increase the hype?
Well, you don't even know what The Rock is doing. Like, I know he's filming a lead in G.I. Joe right now. He's got a, I think, Fast and Furious 6 coming out. And he always manages to show up on our program kind of right when you miss him the most. You can never count something like that out. Dwayne is the type of guy that will be able to stop by once or twice a year and win the entire arena over. And I don't think announcing that match the day after WrestleMania diminishes it at all. I think it adds to the hype of what is going to be the greatest match in the history of this company.
Monday Night Raw, San Jose, HP Pavilion. Dark match main event will be John Cena and CM Punk. Then you'll have SummerSlam 10 days from now. John, I wish I had another hour and a half with you.
Man, this is one of the better interviews I've done. So thank you. You got your facts together, and I know you're going to be there. I just hope you enjoy the show as much as I do.
Thanks, John. Really appreciate the time.